Oh, good morning, church. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see all of you. Have you here with us. God is so good all the time. I have a thank you from Carl and Teresa Pointer and the boys. They're one of the missionaries that we are able to support. Carl and Teresa have been here numerous times to share their faith with us, and they say, "Dear Open Arms Church, Teresa and I are so appreciative to each of you for your faithful support of the ministry. You are in our hearts and our prayers. To God be the glory." So they're just thankful that for our support. Here's another one. The faith, it says, "Dear Open Arms Church, I've just prayed for your church and I am thankful for your partnership in Jesus in this generation. So much is going on in our world, and yet our hope is in the one who overcame for us together in Jesus, Amy." So this is from Amy Howard, another one of our missionaries. We are very supportive and are able to give to our missionaries a lot in the last couple of years. It's been a blessing. You guys have really come through on your tithes and offerings, and it's been a blessing to be able to help the missionaries. I don't know how many of you keep their prayer cards, and you'll see all of them on the back that are on the map. I keep their prayer cards in my prayer journal that I use every day and pray for them. So when they something like this comes up, I'm able to put a face to the person that we're praying for, and it's really nice to just have them on a daily basis in my thoughts and prayers. And so I would encourage you to do that if you don't have their prayer cards, just to get one of them. I think they're back on the back table there, maybe. And if we don't have them all, why, we can probably get some more. But it's just a good way to remember to pray for them every day, because they are out doing the Lord's work, and I thank God for that, that they're out doing what He's called them to do, as we are. So praise the Lord. The message that the Lord gave me today, and I wasn't planning on this until yesterday, and you guys that preach know how sometimes He changes our mind. I was had in mind to bring something about God's just His sovereignty, and I thought, well, Matt just told us that. Don't need to do anything like that. and then the Lord gave me that. I've entitled it today, "A Merry Heart," because I know how much crap that we've all been going through, how much change that we don't like, things that are happening in each of our families. And for those of you who don't know yet, Stan just lost his mother last Sunday. So he's without parents now, so pray for Stan. It's a hard time to lose parents. And all of you know, most of you know that. Hard time to lose parents. So pray for Stan. He just come through a hard time physically as well. Good to have you back today, brother.
Good to be back.
And when I think of a merry heart, I think of you, because you've always got, even though you've got so much crap going on, you've always got a smile. You're just always teasing me all the time. That's what I think about when I think about a merry heart. It's a heart that's light. It's a heart that doesn't have a lot of crap on it. You can overcome the stuff and keep your heart merry. And I want to look at the Word of God today and see how He wants us to do that. So before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You this morning that You've given me a message today on a merry heart, and Father, a cheerful heart. And Lord, I pray that I'm able to bring to the body the words that You've put on my heart. Father, that we'll be able to share together this morning and enjoy the time that we have together. Father, we want to hear Your word and listen to what You have to say this morning. Father, I lift up Brother Stan as he's lost his mother. I lift up his family as well, his siblings. We just ask, Father, that You'll give them peace. thank you that they know that their mother is with you. Father, that they have that blessing of a godly mother and father, and that, Lord, you'll just keep them as they continue their lives without their parents. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first verse that I thought of about a merry heart was, a merry heart does good like a medicine. And I didn't know where to find it, and I was looking in the concordance, and my concordance is King James, and my Bible didn't say it that way, and I thought, well, I'll go back to my old King James Bible, and I found it. And Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And if you know somebody that has a broken spirit, you know how tough it is. Or maybe you've had a broken spirit at one time. You know how hard it is. And you also know how good a merry heart feels. It's good like a medicine. It's one of the ways that God uses to heal us. Just as praise is. I don't have anything scriptural here. I just brought that to my mind. But praise is another way that heals us. We spend time in praise. Proverbs 15:13 also says, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. And I love it when you're able to get that merry heart to your face. I love to hear children with that deep belly laugh they have. And they're just laughing away, and it just makes me smile. It makes me giggle, because I love to hear that when they're just so happy. You maybe don't even know why, but they're just laughing and laughing, and it just cheers me up. And I don't know if this was something that I didn't ask Patsy. I've seen a wall sign in people's houses about live, laugh, and love. And I don't know what the rest of it is. Does anybody know what that one is, or is it something I'm imagining? Live, laugh, and love, that's all there is to it. Okay. I just thought of laugh often. My side of the family on the layman side is a bunch of jokesters, and my mom's side from Pennsylvania. I was born in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and I've got one uncle and one aunt left. And I had to think about my grandpa, Jesse Layman, was just a practical joker. He loved to make people laugh and just tickle people, and his children were all the same way. My mother and her siblings were the same way. And I can remember Aunt Helen. She was, I think, the youngest of the daughters. Anyway, we went to her house one time. They lived in Michigan, and we were in Ohio, so a lot of times we would go back and forth with our families. And you'd sit down at the table, and one of us may pick up a glass and take a drink, when water would just dribble out of it all over you. It was a crystal glass that had etchings in it, so they had one of the etchings that was open. You'd pick this glass up and take a drink, and you'd just have water all over the front end, and then people would just, of course, break out laughing. And somebody else maybe pick up their coffee cup, and the saucer would still be sticking on it. You couldn't get the saucer loose. There's just crazy stuff like that. They love to laugh and to make people laugh. My Aunt Rhoda is 102 this summer. Uncle Roy, the only two siblings that are left, my uncle and aunt that are left, Uncle Roy's 96. So maybe it has something to do with long life, a cheerful heart. Because they do have the Layman family has a history of living a long time. I was watching Randy Travis on TV one evening when Patsy was gone, and he was singing, and then in between one of the songs, he said there was a group of people from a church who went down to the river to have a baptism. And as they were baptizing there in the river, one of the local people that was just, he comes stumbling down the road, down the hill toward the river there, and staggered into the water. And so he said the preacher just grabbed him and baptized him. He'd come on down into the water, so he pushed him down into the water and baptized him, and he brought him up, and he said, "Did you find the Lord?" He said, "No, I didn't." So he pushed him down again, down into the water. He pushed him down again, and he held him a little longer. Brought him back up, and he said, "Did you find the Lord?" He said, "No, I didn't." So he grabbed him, he pushed him down again. He pushed him under the water, and he held him down this time. Pretty soon he started seeing bubbles, and he brought him back up, and he said, "Did you find the Lord?" He said, "No, are you sure this is where he went in?" I thought that was pretty interesting. There was a guy that used to work for us, and I don't know how many years ago it was even, but his name was Sam, and he always had a laugh for him. Just was a cheerful guy, and he always had some kind of a joke almost every day. It was different. And he told one that I memorized, and our children loved to hear it. They would say, "Say it again, Dad, say it again, Dad." And when they were small, and so I hope I still remember it, because it's been a long time since I used it. But this little story was about the Sesame Street school bus. And there was a guy that he got a job driving for Sesame Street, driving the school bus to pick up the kids for Sesame Street to go to school. And his first day on his bus route, he was driving along, and he'd come to the first place and stopped. And this just a heavyweight little girl got on. She was kind of hefty, and she got on the bus, and she said, "Hi, my name's Patty. I get the front seat." I said, "Okay." So she sat right down in the front seat. And he goes on to the next stop, and another little girl gets on. She's heavy as well, and she says, "Hi, my name's Patty. I own this bus." I thought, wow, this is weird. Said, "You can sit wherever you want then, Patty." So Patty goes and picks her seat out. On to the next stop. And a little guy gets on. He says, "Hi, I'm Ross. I'm special." Okay. So Ross goes and finds his seat. And he goes on to the next stop. And this tall little boy gets on. He says, "Hi, my name's Lester Geese. Should I get the back seat?" I said, "Okay, Lester." Well, as soon as Lester gets in the back seat, he took his shoe off and started picking. He had a bunion on his feet. He started picking that bunion, and he got it loose. And so he whipped it up across the bus, and it winged past the bus driver's ear and scared it, startled him, and he ran it in the ditch. And the investigating officer came up, and he said, What happened, sir?" Well, he said, "I had a Big Mac attack." "So what do you mean you had a Big Mac attack?" Well, he said, I got two all beef patties, special Ross, Lester Geese picking bunions on a Sesame Street bus." Those of you who remember the Big Mac commercial will remember that one. Proverbs 15:30 says, "A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones." So smile when you see somebody today. Cheerful heart brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. We're going to go to Genesis today. I think we're going to begin in 17, if you want to turn there. Genesis 17. As I was preparing, I don't know if any of you get Reader's Digest or have ever. There's always a place in Reader's Digest that laughter the best medicine. It's always, well, this edition had a whole section with jokes in it. It says, "The best jokes from A to Z," I think is what it's called. And I found a couple in here that will be worth remembering. An elderly couple go to Burger King, where they carefully split a burger and fries. A trucker takes pity on them and offers to buy the wife her own meal. "It's all right," says the husband. "We share everything." few minutes later, the trucker notices that the wife hasn't taken a bite. I really wouldn't mind buying her her own meal, he insists. She'll eat, the husband assures him. We share everything. Unconvinced, the trucker asks the wife, why won't you eat? The wife snaps, because I'm waiting for his teeth. And then the next one is a woman walks into a doctor's office with both of her ears burned. What happened? Asked the doctor. While I was ironing my blouse, the phone rang and I picked up the iron instead of the phone, she says. That explains one ear, but what about the other? The jerk called again. So there's always something to make you laugh somewhere, to make you smile. The reason I chose Genesis 17 is this is the story of Abraham and Sarah when they found out they were becoming pregnant with Isaac. And you know how old they were. Let's just start at 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. And the rest of chapter 17 is about the covenant that God made with Abraham, the covenant of circumcision, that he would be the father of many nations, that he would be that his offspring would be innumerable. It said as many as the stars are in the sky, as the sand, you just won't be able to count them all. And we are part of Abraham's family. We are Christians because of what Abraham did, because of the covenant that God made with him. And then verse 15, it says, God also said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. And Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And can you imagine? My younger brother Alan was going to have a baby, and he was 51, I believe it was. And I normally they come in threes, so we didn't know who the third one was. And he called me one day, and he was laughing, and I said, he said, you know who the third baby is? I said, I have no idea. He said, it's Teresa. And I said, you got to be kidding. I said, are you still crying? He said, no, we're laughing now. He said, well, at least he's laughing. That would be a little hard. His wife was 46, I believe. And I can't imagine Patsy and I are only 67 and having somebody say, or the Lord come and tell us, you know, you're going to have a child, and he's going to be the father of many. You're going to have to be the father of many nations. You're going to have hundreds of descendants, thousands, millions of descendants. And so, of course, Abraham laughed. He knew that Sarah was past childbearing age. He knew that, in reality, this is an impossible thing. But he believed God. Just as Mary was willing to be a servant of God and do what God asked her to do, so was Abraham. Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Oh, God said, yeah, he will. But Sarah is the one that is going to bring and be the mother of nations. So over in chapter 18, let's transfer over to 18 now. The three visitors come and they're talking to Abraham and telling him how Sarah's going to become pregnant. They're going to have a baby. And Oh, let's begin in verse 10. It says, then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out, my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's probably a verse we should remember as well. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you think he's going to have any trouble controlling COVID-19? I don't either. Nothing's too hard for him. When you see what he does for a 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman here, you know that nothing is too hard for him. He says, I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I didn't laugh. He said, yes, you did laugh. Laughter, that's good for the soul. And we're going to go on over then to chapter 21, because this is the actual birth of Isaac. And Isaac means he laughs. So we're descendants of a man whose actual name means he laughs. You think God doesn't want us to laugh and have a cheerful heart? Of course he does. Verse 21, verse 1 says, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant, bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac, he laughs, to the son that Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And it's true, isn't it? Every time I hear this story or read this story, I have to laugh, because I can't even imagine having a son when I'm 100 years old, or a daughter for that matter, having a child, or even living to be 100 years old, I guess, is a funny thing as well. But it can happen. Is anything hard too hard for God? So laughter is something that you should try to do every day. A lot of times, as we said in the last 3 or 4 weeks, the time since we've been back, we've talked a lot about change and how hard things have gotten and how difficult. And we've seen a lot of you go through some hard spots. Spend some time each day and laugh. Try to have a merry heart, a cheerful heart, because it does good like a medicine. If any of you need prayer this morning, we'd love to have you come up and we'll pray with you. Grace, or yeah, Matt and Doug, come on up and bring a song for us. Does anybody have a testimony this morning? Something that God has done in your life this week that you'd like to share with the body? If not, go ahead, guys.
The song we have
prayer,
for closing,
come on up.
The song we have for closing today hopefully kind of makes you laugh, maybe. Thank you.
Thank you. was awesome. Did you see that look you're getting right there? Because wow. She went and she typed in this song last night, and we didn't.
You played that song what, the first time, and that's wow.
Isn't that a wonderful sermon on laughing, Miss Julie? That wasn't me. That was him.
Oh yeah. Very, very close. Yeah. Very close to winning streaks. Very close to it. Even the drums are close to it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was a good time right there.
I tried anyway. I wanted to do your version of the song, but you know what I mean? Just, I didn't know what to do. Oh, you're trying to do something close. Didn't want to do all like the song.
Oh, yeah. We might have to cut that short.
I mean, we'll throw in the